Peter Grandich joins us today on a very important day for our investors and traders alike.
Great to be here, Chris. You are correct. The markets have just closed, as I think everybody expected. We had a hike in the Fed rate. I think the chat so far from Yellen after that has given people belief that any thought, which I was not in the camp of, that there was going to be substantially strong and aggressive interest rate rises, basically from what she said and what you can read of the minutes, is not going to happen. And I think that was all the gold price needed to spike up after, you know, the COMEX closed. And I think it's clear sailing, barring any unforeseen thing that, you know, sometimes comes out of left field when it comes to the gold market. I certainly think this has set the stage now for gold to have a very strong 2017. So I'm quite happy, since my personal investments, and that's all that I take care of these days, is aggressively in the gold market.
Policymakers at the Fed are concerned that we have got an overheating economy, that things have just gotten ahead of themselves. Maybe people are a bit too optimistic with the new regime change in Washington.
They spoke about only two more times this year, and I have to tell you, because with the Atlanta Fed now saying that first quarter GDP may have slipped under 1%, as I said in a writing this morning on my own blog, before any of the news came out from the Fed, that I think the surprise is going to be come 2018, the Fed is back to some sort of easing mode, because the economy, both here and in the world at large, fell off the cliff. So with the Atlanta Fed talking about less than a 1% GDP growth, it would come as no surprise this time next year that the Federal Reserve is back into an easy mode, because the economies here and across the world have slipped again. I think, again, that's one of the reasons that I feel so confident that the dollar is not going to get a lot stronger. The stock market, all systems are gold for the gold market. I haven't been this bullish on gold for almost 20 years. I mean, again, my interest is strictly for my own. I don't manage any money. I'm not an advisory service anymore. I said to someone earlier today, Chris, that I think the argument should be is to all the folks that have predicted well under $1,000 by now, what went wrong? If you didn't get it by now, what is going to, you know, cause it to do that? So I think the least resistance for the gold market is up for the rest of 2000.
You know, I really like that reasoning, the logic you're using here, and I'm going to go out a little bit on a limb, maybe way out on a limb here, with a parallel. You know, for decades we've been asking, where are they? If there are other life forms in the universe, why haven't we heard of them? Why haven't we seen their sitcoms? And some of the sharpest minds said they can't be there because, frankly, we just haven't heard from them. But there's a brilliant man by the name of Edward Snowden that most people have heard of, and he just recently refuted the whole concept and said, hey, maybe we haven't heard from anybody else, simply because we haven't been searching with the right algorithm, that they're using encryption, which only makes sense. Well, in similar fashion, I think you have identified the fact that nobody's looking at the metals. Nobody's interested. Everybody's focusing on, you know, the strong greenback rate hikes and the rest of it. Plus, you know, where else are you going to put your money? I mean, stocks, you know, it doesn't make any logical sense. Give us an idea of what are some of the drivers you think that will continue to send the precious metals higher?
Well, I think there's a few things that are very positive about the gold market. First of all, somebody has been buying it. It's certainly not mainstream Wall Street, or what I've coined for a couple decades, the don't worry, be happy crowd that makes up the lion's share of the financial service industry here in the U.S. They certainly have it, and that's good, because eventually when they're props, which is mostly stocks, they'll still need to try to do business, and they will look at the gold market, and that's all gold's going to need. It's just a little bit of the money that's currently in financial assets to siphon off and come into it to get us back and get through the old highs. I expect those groups to be steeled down the road. I don't expect them yet to be in an aggressive way. I think the thing that's happening is that people are realizing that, hey, you know what? There really is no more safe currency. Even the dollar, which I really think rose because it was the least of all the evils. I think the other problem is, and I just see it budding very strongly, and that's the China, and there's going to be a debt problem there as well. So I just think across the board that gold will return to what it always has been, what's worked for thousands of years when other currencies came and went. It was an alternative to paper assets, and I just see that as a big benefactor here. And it's kind of like you talked about an analogy. It's kind of like you go into a fight. No one's giving this guy a chance. They're all saying stocks and bonds are going to cream gold and round one and round five, and suddenly it's round eight and nine, and they haven't knocked this guy out yet. And then suddenly he starts to come on, and I think that's where the gold market is now. We've heard for the last couple of years why it should be just so much below 1,000. Just every week I picked up a paper or read online somewheres of someone calling, you know, gold a relic and deserving, not deserving of anyone's attention. And yet here we are today. Really one of the biggest benefit of the news today was the gold market. Why? So I really think we have to start pinning the two of bears. And let's not forget also that perhaps one of the most overcrowded trade other than the stock market has been the U.S. dollar. Just any sighting of that coming off a little bit, I think it's going to find its way into the gold market. So I'm very, very enthusiastic here. I don't sell it. I don't represent mining companies anymore. So there's not a prejudicial reason other than for my own hard-earned dollars. I think gold is a very prudent place to be at this point.
You know, I'd like to look at the opportunity in the precious metals from a different perspective. Recently, we've seen article after article talking about the officials, policymakers in Utah and in related Western states, including Texas, essentially saying gold and silver are legal tender. We don't want them to be taxed because when you tax real money, it forces people into worthless greenbacks. Into dollars. It's real money. We will accept it for your tax payments, and we will not have a state tax any longer on the sale, capital gains of gold and silver. You know, just like the upset we saw in the elections and Brexit and here in the United States, people are starting to recognize that this is sound money. This is what we should be using. I just hope the trend continues.
I think at the end of the day, people's concern about paper money is a growing concern. It may not be in the general public sector, but I think people astute and of wealth recognize it, and they've been a buyer of it. Let's face it, central banks outside the United States have been net buyers of it. And I think another thing that's going to come into play that isn't being discussed in a moment, but I found quite interesting, not that I want to run back into the mining and metals industry and work again, but now, yet again, exploration by mining companies, particularly gold mining companies, has fallen sharply yet again. And, you know, supply and demand is kind of like battleships. They don't turn on a dime. And we've seen now production among gold mining companies considerably drop these last few years at a time when I think we're just about to see a significant pickup in investment demand. So, again, I just continue to see a series of fundamental reasons to support gold, starting with the fact that when they had a chance to take it down and keep it down, they couldn't do it. And like I said, to the boxing analogy, when you're supposed to knock somebody out and you bang them around and they're still standing in the ring, it's kind of like the football team that, you know, shouldn't have been in the game. Suddenly in the fourth quarter, they start driving, and before you know it, they take the lead. And that's kind of what I see gold happening now for the rest of 2007.
Isn't that ironic? Because here we had one of the best Super Bowls I've ever seen, you know, with the Falcons and the Patriots. And, you know, the Falcons, as our listeners know, were simply crushing. Patriots hardly had any points on the board. And then probably the greatest comeback I've ever seen, you know, the Patriots come back and win the game. I mean, it was a mathematical impossibility. No statistician would have put any odds on the comeback armchair quarterback. But I would argue that somebody told the Falcons to stop blitzing Brady. Because anyone who watched it recognized they were blitzing him 80% of the time on every single scrimmage. And all of a sudden, they stop blitzing the quarterback. And that was the end of the game, as far as I'm concerned. But all right, well, listen, as we wrap up here today, can you give us your outlook then on the mining sector? Of course, it was red hot last year, held up really well during the reaction. Do you expect more fireworks ahead for the sector?
I think at times silver will actually lead gold. Vice versa. I think both metals are going to work their way higher. I think the mining shares, particularly the producers, are going to be benefactors of the minimally pullback in the equity market. I think it's going to be more than a pullback. I, for the only maybe the third or fourth time in 30-something years, actually shorted the equity market, so I'm not looking for any, obviously, personal substantial gains. I think one of the benefactors is the mining. I also think the pullback in the oil market is interesting, and I think some of that money that has gone in and played that side of the energy play is going to find its way into the metals market. I hate to say it because, you know, you kind of get scared when you are so bullish, but I really think it's almost the perfect storm now for both the metals and the mining sector, at least for the foreseeable future. I think into the spring and summer, we can definitely see a rise here, both the metals and the mining shares. So I always like to have that physical bullion first. I understand why people speculate, which is another word for gambling, but in the mining sector. But I think once one has a core position in the physical metals, I think at this point in time, speculating in mining shares, particularly producers, I think is a worthy speculation at this time.
No, it's great advice. Money managers talk about diversification and, of course, the betas of the individual components. And that's one of the neat aspects of some of these companies. I mean, their betas are so negative relative to the underlying stock market that it has a tendency to greatly offset a lot of that portion of the risk in a portfolio. So there's a lot of people that are just equity minded today. If you are, wow, a battered but solid precious metals company might just be what you need to help. I'm not calling a top in equities, but every guest on here in the last 2 weeks has certainly been calling a top. My only problem with calling a top is I've listened to pundits call the top for 10 years in a row, it seems like.
I just like to add that I don't think anybody is gifted enough. I certainly wasn't, to continuously call tops and bottoms, but I do think after you spend 30-something years in and around the financial arena as I have, you get a sixth sense. And I just would be very hard-pressed to take anyone that I cared for or even some poor widower and begin a general equity or bond portfolio at this time. And why that's important is one thing I've learned over 30-something years, which works almost all the time, is when you really can't even bring yourself to buy something, even with found money, then you have to start looking at the exit. I mean, you really do. And I couldn't begin to buy, certainly if my family, loved one's life depended on it, a general equity and bond portfolio at this point. I mean, look at the Bundesbond. I mean, you know, yielding 0.4%. If I did anything there, I'm short it or I'm not touching it. So yet when I look at the bullion market, gold and silver, and the vast majority of major producers, I mean, I probably can't mention it by name, but I'll just say that I own a particular company that's today trading at book value in mining, has no debt, has a couple $100 million in cash. Analysts are talking about a world-class asset that it's developing, and yet I could buy it at book value. I can't find valuations like that in the general equity market, certainly not in the bond or the high-yield corporate bond market. So again, but just to sum up, I just think a lot of things have come together here to make the metals themselves and also significant producers very, very attractive at this time.
I mean, there's just, as you say, a confluence of events that makes the precious metals, you know, I think the ideal go-to asset here for everybody's portfolio. Of course, we're biased, having watched these markets for decades. You do really get a solid feel for what's happening, and you start to see signs of serious froth in the equities and the debt market. Can you tell folks a bit more about what they'll find at Peter Granditch & Company?
Well, Peter Granditch & Company specializes in retirement and business and estate planning. We all have a separate division that deals with professional athletes. And Peter Granditch, one word, Peter, and then GRANDICH.com is the website. You'll see a section called Peter Speaks. That's my blog. You simply have to put in an email, and every time I write something on the blog, you'll receive an alert noting that whatever's been written will be sent to you. Thank you, sir. Talk to you soon.
The gold and silver mining sector is red hot. Every investment portfolio needs precious metal shares. GoldSeek.com's top stock analysts have done it again, identifying the next solid gold nugget opportunity. Brazil Resources Based in the 8th largest economy with a mining-friendly reputation, almost 10 million ounces of gold reserves, industry insiders are accumulating shares of Brazil Resources. The notable management team includes Chairman Amir Adnani, a rising star in the mining industry with a reputation for moving projects rapidly into production. Fortune magazine lists Chairman Adnani in the prestigious list of 40 under 40 ones to watch. Plus, shareholders benefit from the insights and backing of enigmatic Brazilian billionaire Mario Garneiro, CEO of Brazil Invest Group, the nation's foremost merchant and investment bank, and founding director. Their São Jorge project is 100% owned with paved highway access, a nearby workforce, and a hydroelectric power source near the major gold deposits. Their next top project includes three deposits identified by major gold producers, plus their Ria project, which is a joint venture with Areva, benefits from a $10 million treasure map in the hottest address for uranium production in Canada. But the story gets even more exciting with their Whistler project, offering geographic diversification in South Central Alaska. To find out more about this unique opportunity, please direct your web browsers to BrazilResources.com. At Yahoo Finance, ticker symbol BRI.V. Remember, to ride the exciting gold stock run of 2016 and beyond, your portfolio will thank you for adding shares of Brazil Resources.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.